And I'd like to welcome you all to the first episode of Wrestling Nerd Commentary Saturday Night, or as we're going to call it, WNC Saturday Night. I'm your host, Anthony Cox. Let me tell you a little bit about myself because I'm brand new to this whole podcast thing. So work with me as I'm, going through all the awkward phases as you're listening. But hey, we're going to get through this together, right? So I'm a former columnist at both KayfabeKickout.com as well as HouseOfNerdom.com. I was the senior columnist at Kayfabe Kickout for 6 years, where I just give my thoughts on the latest things going on in professional wrestling. You know why? Because I love professional wrestling. I've been watching since I was 4 years old. It all started, I was watching highlights of WrestleMania 3. And I had seen Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant. And it was that I was watching along with my older brother VJ, who I give credit for getting me into this whole wrestling thing. And I was hooked ever since. And I've seen it all. I've seen both boom periods, the rock and wrestling era of the 80s, Attitude Era in the 90s, WCW, NWA, I got to see it all. It was cool. It was a great time to be a fan. But now, whether it's WWE, whether it's Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, NWA, even Independence, I try to follow it all. I try to give everybody, their fair share and their fair chance for me to check out their product. And I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We call ourselves City of Champions, not just because of the Steelers and the Penguins and the Pirates. Well, not so much the Pirates these days. But this city is home to such greats as Bruno Sammartino, longest reigning champion in WWE history, Kurt Angle, multi-time world champion, Olympic gold medalist, Larry Zbyszko, former AWA world champion, the franchise, Shane Douglas, an ECW great, even though you might have burned some bridges in the big leagues, but it doesn't matter. He's still great to me. And of course, my homeboy, Virgil, who's out there getting that meat sauce and that fuck money. All right, and when I talk about professional wrestling, just to let you know, I talk about this from an objective point of view. You're not going to hear any fanboy gibberish here. It's your wrestling world, it's my wrestling thoughts on the latest happenings going on in the business. Like I say, this won't be any fanboy gibberish that you may get from other podcasts that act like everything WWE does is awesome and that every match with 40 super kicks is a 5-star classic. You're not going to get that here. So I'm just going to give you a chance. If you thought this was going to be that, you can stop right now. I'll give it about 10 seconds. Okay, and to all you who are still here, thank you for sticking around. We're going to try to have some fun. I'm just going to, use my voice to give my thoughts on something that we all love. After all, hey, you wouldn't be here listening to this if you didn't love wrestling, right? So let's get into it. First thing I want to talk about is Daniel Bryan being cleared. Yes, yes, yes. Internet wrestling communities wilding out over Daniel Bryan being cleared to wrestle again. As we all know, he retired all the way back. He never retired 3 years ago, back in 2015, after doctors told him that he can never wrestle again because of, concussions, brain injuries, all that stuff. Now, during these last 3 years, though, he had been getting cleared by doctors outside of WWE, just that WWE hadn't been clearing him. Now, what I want you guys to do is, let's do the math here. This is a contract year for Daniel Bryan. His contract's up this year. And WrestleMania, there hasn't been, the hype, it's been pretty underwhelming. You gotta admit, WrestleMania's hype's been underwhelming this year on paper. So, with an underwhelming WrestleMania and this being a contract year, I think we can all do the math there, right? After all, if WWE decided that he couldn't wrestle anymore and his contract is up, we all know Daniel Bryan's gonna continue to do what he loves. He's gonna he would have gone to Ring of Honor, New Japan, and they would have welcomed him with open arms. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that still can't happen. That maybe after WWE doctors clear him and his contract's up, that he doesn't still decide to leave. But, hey, I guess we'll see what happens when it happens. And what I'm just hoping more than anything is that the doctors that cleared him in all of these cases weren't some mark doctors. Just like the NFL has quote-unquote team doctors. For wrestling, they have those marked doctors that are going to tell a wrestler whatever they want to hear, if they want to tell them that they're clear, and then I don't want that to happen, and then it ends up that he really can't do it, and then his brains turn to mush, or he gets permanently injured and can't, and can't play with his young daughter. Like, that would completely suck. I'm glad that he's returning, but I'm not super excited about it. I just hope that he's able to work more safely. You don't want anybody to have any career-ending injuries that are going to hinder your quality of life, you know what I mean? So, hopefully he'll work safely. And the thing is that he'd have a ready-made feud with The Miz whenever he decides to return. After all, they got into it on Talking Smack a while back, so there's some unfinished business there. So I guess we'll see what happens, right? You know, with WWE, I'm sure that they wanted to do what they could to make him happy, and they don't want anybody else getting that Daniel Bryan / Bryan Danielson money. Next, we next thing I want to talk about is John Cena. This whole thing with him calling out The Undertaker, it's silly. Remember when WrestleMania, a long time ago, WrestleMania, the card used to be set so far ahead of time, like sometimes a month in advance. But here we are, like 2 weeks out, and John Cena's still on Raw every week talking, you know, and in his lame scripted promo tone talking about, oh, Undertaker, he's a coward, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on. Like, it kind of makes John Cena sound like a bully calling out a semi-retired or retired 53-year-old wrestler with nothing to prove. Like, Undertaker's at home and enjoying his time at home with his wife and posting stuff on Instagram. Imagine you're posting stuff on Instagram and somebody's calling you out on live television. You're just trying to enjoy whatever years you have left, you know, 53, trying to enjoy that. But no, John Cena kind of looks like an ass here because, I mean, like, what's the point? We all saw last year they had The Undertaker get, like, murdered by Roman Reigns. But let me backpedal a little bit. I used to love Undertaker matches at WrestleMania back when the streak was on the line. Because in wrestling, that was the last thing that I believed in. But once he lost to Brock Lesnar and that streak ended, you know, I was like, well, That killed it. That was the last thing in wrestling that I believed in. That was what made him an attraction. It stripped him as a WrestleMania attraction. Every match that he's had after that was, you know, it's just a match. And then he got squashed by Roman Reigns to the delight of no one, and then, you know, put his clothes in the middle of the ring and left out. Why would John Cena want to call out some guy that his last match he looked completely out of it and washed up? It would be like current, like, we'll go to boxing. It would be like current WBC World Heavyweight Champion Deontay Wilder calling out Mike Tyson. Or, you know what, for any of you that may or who listen from across the pond, you know, at some point, you know, when you go back and look at these in the archives when this is a little bit bigger, you know, it would be like Anthony Joshua calling out Lennox Lewis. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Now, John Cena versus The Undertaker, that would have been a great match at like WrestleMania 28 or WrestleMania 30, you know, or any time when the streak was still on the line, but now, not so much. All right, and lastly, what I want to talk about is Mark Henry. Mark Henry being inducted into the Hall of Fame, I give him his props, and I feel that he deserves it. Let me talk a little bit about that. You know, the term world's strongest man, it's been used so many times. Rather, in the 80s, WWF had Ted Arcidi, and they called him the world's strongest man. WCW had, or was it NWA/WCW, they had Bill Kazmaier, and he was the world's strongest man. They even had him walk out to the ring with like an inflatable globe on his back, like he was Atlas. And then you had Nickelodeon, they had Artie, the strongest man in the world, on that show, Pete and Pete. So a lot of great men have used that moniker, World's Strongest Man, and it was probably a heavy burden on their shoulders for doing so. But hey, but the other part of that is none of these men are in the WWE Hall of Fame. Only one man carrying that moniker is. And you know who that is? Mark Henry. And I'm glad that WWE has decided to recognize Mark Henry's career and contributions, and they're going to induct him into the WWE Hall of Fame. Because you got to look at it from the beginning. When Vince McMahon first signed him, you know, he had to believe that he was getting a blue chipper. Because Vince McMahon, he's always liked guys with legit credentials. You know what I mean? Whether it's Bad News Brown or Kurt Angle or Brock Lesnar. So it was no surprise that when he signed Mark Henry, he signed him to a pretty big 10-year contract. And then he put him in the ring with Jerry Lawler. Now, if that's not enough to show you that Vince is all in, I don't know what is. It may have seemed like he was given a bit too much too soon because, you know, he didn't have that much training as of yet, and then he got injured quickly. But, hey, from recovering from those injuries, it allowed him to gain more training, and he had to work backwards, but that's fine. And then, who can forget during the Attitude Era when we got to see him as part of the Nation of Domination with guys like, greats like Ron Simmons and The Rock and The Godfather and even D'Lo Brown, who I feel at some point needs to go into the Hall of Fame too. Hey, just calling a spade, right? And even after he was in the Nation, the whole sexual chocolate thing where he was going on dates with China and all that stuff, even during that sexual chocolate era, they used to put him in so many situations to make him look like a jackass or a sicko, like the time that he told a psychiatrist that he slept with his own sister, or the time that he was about to get it going with a transsexual until he felt up the skirt and he felt, I'll just say the quote. What he said, "Oh, sweet Jesus, you have a penis?" That was Attitude Era style wrestling for you, right? And it's like they wanted him to quit, but he chose not to. It's like he's fine with the fact that he got to go with Mae Young and she gave birth to a hand. Or the time that those chicks from that stable, PMS, grabbed him up and then they sexually tortured him with whips and gags. And I think Jerry Lawler said on commentary that they were using hamsters and gerbils. I don't even want to think about that. And then after all that, he took them time out, went to OVW to lose some weight, and no matter what, he always took it all in stride, going down there to, get himself in better shape, and then coming back. You know, he was always in the midst of WWE, but he just wasn't getting them pushes, and then it finally came. We saw just a few years, like 2012, when he had that Hall of Pain. And he was WWE World Champion. And when he was the World Champion over on SmackDown, he ruled the Blue Brand. He ruled it with an iron fist. So he gets his props for that. And Mark Henry, he was always entertaining. It doesn't matter what era, whether it was Nation of Domination, Sexual Chocolate, the Hall of Pain era. He deserves this spot in the WWE Hall of Fame. And you know what he deserves it for? He deserves it because he not only played his position, he played it well. And to me, that's what makes somebody a true Hall of Famer. So I hope you enjoyed this debut podcast. I mean, it wasn't that long, as you noticed. It was pretty brief. It'll probably get longer as I keep doing episodes. You know, make sure to leave me some feedback. You know, I want to know what you think. You can either hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram at UltraGoldenAnt. On Instagram, normally will you see some, you won't see that much wrestling stuff, but you'll see a lot of my hobbies involving retro gaming. So if you like old video games and stuff like that, come check me out on the IG, you feel me? See, that was lame. Anyway, also be sure to go out there and support your local independent wrestling promotions near you. You know, buy a ticket, get your ass in a seat. It's the independent wrestling scene that holds this business together. These guys and girls working week after week, whether it's in armories, high school gymnasiums, in a parking lot behind a Burger King, wherever you're working at, whether it's in front of 20 people, 50 people, 400 people, this is where you go to see the stars of tomorrow and watch these guys work and perfect their craft. And then lastly, if you're on Facebook, there's a few groups on there that I want you to check out. World Wrestling Junkies, House of Nerdom, and last but not least, PWDNS, People Who Do Nerd Stuff. So that includes this first episode of WNC Saturday Night. I'll see you next week.